Hey friends, this is Mario J. Radford. I'm the pastor of Growth Point Church, and this is our podcast. I pray that it connects, leads, and maybe introduces you to a growing and life-changing relationship with Jesus. Now let's go into the message.
Can to make sure that we are bringing you ministry in this time and coming into your households. I want you to share this. If you're watching this, go ahead and share it with as many people as you can. Our growth on the go as we connect with you during this time, and we're going to keep doing it as long as we can. We are joining with other churches all across the nation in Unite 714. You can hashtag that, hashtag Unite 714. We know 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and we will heal, and he will heal the land. And that's what we're praying all across our nation, that God would heal us and that we would receive the healing that can only come from God, and that we would experience that, as well as that we would that we would see different plagues and things that are going on right now, we would see them disappear, as we believe only the power of God can do. So we want to encourage you to do that at this time. I want to go into the word. I have something to encourage you with. I think if there's any time that we need to be encouraged, this is the time that we need to be encouraged. And I want to encourage you with this word, 2 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 5 through 6. Those of you who are our Growth Point family, those of you who are watching right now, you know we make a confession before every word. Those of you who already know the confession, we don't have it on the screen, but you know you can do it. And we always say, this is God's word for my life. I read it, receive it, understand it, and love it. And I'm so glad that I have what I need to grow. If there's ever a time we want to make sure we have what we need, this is the time we want to make sure we have what we need. 2 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 5 through 6 says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Verse 6 says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame. One version says, to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Verse 7 says, for God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And one version says, of a sound mind. And we're using here of self-control. And I want you today, as you are listening and as you are going through this season, I want you to be able to be encouraged to dig deeper. That's what I want to teach you about today, to be able to dig deeper. This is not the time for you to in any way just remain and allow things to pass by you. But this is a call for all of us to be able to dig deeper into some things. And I want to teach you about that. This is a season that we're in, where all of us are faced with all different types of things. We're faced with all different types of panic, and we're all faced with fear on every area if we're not careful, and it will distract us and cause us to lose our focus and cause us to lose what we're supposed to be doing. Social media, if we look at social media, everywhere we look and we see a social media post everywhere, there's all these different things that are flooding our timeline, all these different things that are, every time we turn on our notification, there's always something new, something that we didn't know before. The news media outlets are always constantly pumping in information to us, no matter what channel we turn to. Even if we try to find a channel that is not newsworthy, but there's something always scrolling at the bottom that's trying to get our attention. Articles that are written and blogs that people are posting, different things everywhere, and there are memes that are written. There are things that no matter what we do, there's always something to throw us off. Everybody's got something to say. Everybody's taking everybody's picture and putting words to it, and it's creating all these different types of things. And then when we try to get off of social media, when we pick up our phone and then we look at our text thread, and everywhere on our messages, somebody's saying, did you hear or did you see? And even there are people who are dying and we can't even attend their funerals because of the limit of all the different crowd control and all these different things that are going on and that are designed to cause us to have all these different types of being overwhelmed. And now I want to tell you and caution you that many of us are not experts on anything, and we don't know anything, and we don't have the answer to everything that is going on right now, and I don't have the answer. And sometimes as leaders, we always feel like we have to have the answer to everything, and we don't have the answer to everything. And for those of us who are faith leaders, many of us are trying to figure this out as we go. Some people say we should have already known it was coming. All of us who were having this vision of 2020 and we didn't see it coming, but a lot of us who we just didn't know what God was going to do, because he knows the beginning from the ending. We got to stay in position and we don't know. And many of us are asking that question, and we're saying stuff like, how long will this last? And that's what everybody is saying. How long are we going to be in this? How long are we going to go through this? And how long is it going to be before we get some sense of normalcy again? And none of us often are saying, instead of saying the how long is it going to last, many of us are not saying, what is God trying to say to me during this time? We're not going there. We're saying, how long? I can't take much longer. This is too much. I can't take this. I'm ready for this to be over. But many of us are not getting on our knees or seeking the Lord and saying, Lord, what are you trying to say to me during this time? And I feel like this scripture, even though we use this scripture for many, many different things, and I was trying to find something a little bit deeper to share with you, but even in this scripture, when we find it says that Paul was on the eve of his own death. Paul was getting ready to die, and Paul was writing to Timothy. And as Paul is writing to someone he had mentored and someone that he had raised and someone that he had entrusted, he was entrusted by God to be able to deposit a faith into and deposit the word into. And he writes him in verse 1 of this chapter, verse 3 of this chapter, he says, I thank God whom I serve as did my ancestors. He's saying, I'm remembering Paul saying, my ancestors were serving God, and I also served God with a clear conscience. He said, and I'm remembering you constantly in my prayers day and night. He said, in verse 4 says, he said, I remember your tears. He said, the last time we saw each other, you were sad, and a lot of people were sad because we weren't going to be together anymore. You weren't going to see me physically anymore. So all of you all were crying, and I long to be with you again. And I'm sitting here thinking about you. And as I think about you, I'm filled with joy. But as I'm filled with joy, there's some things I want to say to you as I am closing the chapter of my life. And I believe that this, we're in a season and we're in a time right now that I'm not saying that we're at the closing of our life, but I believe if there were some people that could speak to us right now in this season and what we're going through, and I know it's different that we've never seen this before as a pandemic, and we have all these different names for it and different definitions of all the different things of what's going on right now. But I believe if there were some people that could speak to us from before, they would tell us to dig deeper. And I believe that the very first thing that they would tell us as far as digging deeper is they would have us to deal deeper in the faith that has been revealed to us, to be able to go back to the place of which we first revealed, our faith was first revealed to us in our life, the very first time that we heard it. Verse 5 says this. He says, I am reminded, Paul is saying this to Timothy, he said, I'm reminded of your sincere faith. He said, I'm not talking about a weak faith. He said, I'm reminded of your sincere faith. I'm not talking about a social faith. He said, I'm reminded of your sincere faith. I'm not talking about a faith that goes up and down. I'm talking about something that was sincere, something that you got that you didn't learn from YouTube, something that you got that you didn't learn from church attendance, something that you got that wasn't that you didn't just learn from going to somebody's meeting, but something you learned in hard trials. He said, I'm reminded of your sincere faith. He said, it is a faith that first dwells in your grandmother. He said, you got an old school type of faith. He said, you got a faith that's not new. You got a faith that knows what to do under pressure. You got a faith that knows how to do when hard times come. You know how you got a faith that knows how to make ends meet. You got a faith that knows how to pitch pennies. You know, you got a faith that knows how to cook with just a little bit of stuff. You got a faith that knows how to do. You got an old school type of faith. And I want you to go back to some of the old school ways that you've been trying to avoid, because you're trying to say, I don't do what the old people do. I didn't do what they used to do. But this is a season that you might have to go back to grandmama's stuff. You might have to get back on your knees again. You might have to start praying and calling on God, calling on the name of Jesus. You might have to start fasting again. You might have to start crying and start wailing and praying for other people other than yourself. It first was in your grandmother, he said, and then it was in your mother Eunice. He said it transitioned not from just your grandmother, but your grandmother had so much that it spilled over into your mother. You want to have a faith that spills over to another generation. And what was interesting about this, he says, this faith was first in your grandmother. He said it's in your mother Eunice, and now it's in you. He said I'm confident it's in you, but it's so important and it's so interesting that he said it's confident that it's in you. He said because I believe historians say that when Paul first met Timothy, that Timothy, his father, his mother was saved. His mother got saved through Paul's ministry, but his father was what they called a Greek, someone that they all called in some ways they would call a heathen, someone who was not saved. So that means that he was not, he had a duality of nature in his household. Where he had somebody who was saved, but he had also somebody who was going against what salvation or going against the things of God. So you had a choice, Timothy. You could have been saved or you could have gone the way of the world. But I'm convinced that because of the influence of what you saw, I'm convinced of the influence of what you were around, that that same faith is inside of you. That same faith, I believe that your mother so cared for you, not just to birth you, cared for you, not just to milk you, but I believe she cared for you in such a way that she created an environment that even when your daddy was not trying to go the way of God, that there was something about the care of your mother to make sure that you had what you needed. Sometimes there are some of you who are going through things right now that you need to pause for a moment and thank God for the people who taught you in the midst of things that were designed to cause you to go a different way. But instead of you going a different way, you were raised by somebody. Somebody influenced you and said, I'm not going the way that I see. I'm going the way that I know, the way that I have seen it worked in my grandmama. And if it worked in my grandmama, I believe it can work in my mama. And if it worked in my mama, I believe it can work in me. And it was so interesting. There was a word that came to me, one about that you have to be able to sometimes excavate things. Excavate things means that you have to sometimes be able to dig up those things that you have forgot about. You have to sometimes be able to go back and break up the ground and some things that you tried to bury, and the praise that you tried to bury, and the worship you tried to bury, and the old school things, and the things, the principles like morality, and things like integrity, and things like character, and things like checking on people, and things like calling people, and things like going to a grocery store and picking up stuff for somebody else. Those old things that you gotta excavate, and you have to, now you're in a condition where social media doesn't even matter anymore, and where text message doesn't even matter anymore. Sometimes you want somebody to care for you, and you have to excavate those things where neighbors matter, where neighborhood matters. It's not just about your hood, it's about my hood too, where everybody matters. You got to excavate some things. And not only did I think about the word excavate as it relates to going back to some things that have been buried, but I think about another word about incubate. And when I think about incubation, I also think about how there are certain eggs that are placed in a certain way, and when they are placed, this is talking about the faith that he said, I'm convinced it's in you, your grandmother, your mother, and is now in you. He said that you have to sometimes incubate things, and what incubation is that sometimes when you have an embryo or you have an egg, you take that egg or that embryo and you put it into a laboratory, and you put it in a laboratory to make sure that it can be contained until it's ready to be hatched. You put it into an incubator or put it into an isolated place. You put it into a spot so that you make sure that whatever is inside of the egg or whatever is trying to birth, you put it in a place so that nothing can come upon it to make sure that it interrupts the process of it growing. When I think of incubation, when I think about this egg and I think about how eggs have to be incubated and sometimes placed in another position, another spot where the temperature is just right, the temperature is just correct in such a way so that it can grow and so that it can hatch on time. I also think about what's going on right now, and I think about the word isolation. And how many of us who are we are extroverts, we're having a hard time with the word isolation, because they are trying or they're suggesting, governors and state officials and federal people are telling us that we need to be isolated and we need to be quarantined. And the reason that they're saying we need to be isolated is because they're trying to make sure that whatever could hinder us from living a good life, whatever could possibly keep us from growing and being what we're supposed to be as far as our normal society, whatever normal society looks like. But in order for us to be a community that we're able to operate the way we're supposed to operate, they had to put us in isolation. And a lot of us don't like isolation, and that's why a lot of us are saying, how long is this going to last? Because we don't like isolation, and we're ready to get out of it. And we're like, we don't, many times we look at incubation and isolation, and we look at that as a tormenting thing. But how about looking at it as a thing that God might sometimes be protecting you from something? God might sometimes be saying, you don't know what's best for you, so I have to cause you to go back, and I have to start to teach you some things again, and I have to start putting you in a place that you're not distracted like you used to be. You're not all over the place like you used to be. You're not as busy as you used to be, so I have to cause you to be still for just a second, just so I can isolate you, just so I can incubate you, because I gotta put you right back in the right temperature so that you can start growing the way you're supposed to grow. When is the last time you thank God for incubating you and putting you in a place of isolation? There are some things I learned not because I was around everybody. There were sometimes things I learned because I had to be withdrawn from people, and I had to go back. And what isolation would teach you, I'm gonna tell you, some of you even introverts and extroverts, I'm an extrovert and I can be introverted as well, but I'm an extrovert. But I'm gonna tell you what this time would teach you. It would show you who matters and who doesn't matter. It will show you who's for you and who's not for you. It will show you who was fronting and who was actually the real person the whole time. So sometimes you have to thank the government. Thank you for isolating me. Thank you for revealing some things that I wouldn't have known. Thank you for showing me some people that I wouldn't have been able to see because I was so busy. I was so socially everywhere that I wasn't even paying attention that joker was a fool the entire time, and they were never for me, and they were only around me for what they could get. Now they're not around me, and I don't even hear from them no more. So you got to be able to sometimes thank God for the isolation. When I think of isolation, I also think about Moses. I feel like preaching in these seats today. Here I think about Moses. When I think about Moses, I find out that Moses in Hebrews 11 chapter and verse 23, it says, by faith. We've been teaching about faith all year. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, he was hidden for 3 months by his parents. And the reason that Moses was hidden, he was hidden because it says that he was a child that was beautiful. And they looked at him and they were not afraid of what the king had said. There was a decree that went out in Hebrews, in Exodus around the first chapter. And there was a decree, and the Pharaoh said that I'm going to kill all the firstborn. And all the firstborn got to die. And then they were going around killing all of the firstborn. And every firstborn they saw, it says they would kill them because they were Hebrew children. Hebrew children mean that they were children of the covenant. Children of the covenant mean they were children of God. Children of God mean they were children of the promise. Children of promise mean that God had a call on their life, and no matter what happened to them, they could not be destroyed and they could not be killed. I want to give you a word right now. I don't care what they say. Whatever God's got on your life, it's got to come to pass. You will not die. This is not your time. This is not your season. You will live and you will declare the works of the Lord. But what happens in Exodus, the first chapter, and beginning towards the ending of that chapter, it says that God raised up some midwives, and they told the midwives to make sure that when they saw the Hebrew children that were born, they were supposed to kill them. But it says the Hebrew children, the midwives, when they saw the Hebrew children, because they knew what they were designed to do and they knew what they were called to do, they said they just couldn't kill them because they respected the promise. They respected that they were God's chosen people. And because they didn't kill the children, they didn't kill the Hebrew children, there was a word of God that came to the midwives and said, because you preserved the lives of the Hebrew children, I'm going to add some life to you. Now, mind you, midwives were people who weren't necessarily pregnant, but they were responsible for making sure that I birthed something correctly. But so these women only had a position to be able to make sure that I birthed something, even though they couldn't birth anything. Have you ever had anybody that's just been assigned to you to say, I might not be successful, but I'm assigned to you just to make sure you're successful? I might not be able to sing, but I'm going to make sure you got water to make sure your throat is lubricated. I'm going to do whatever I can. I'm just a midwife. I'm just there to make sure you birth it. You need people around you in this isolation and in this quarantine season right now who are just there to make sure that you come out okay, that you're all right, that you got somebody that checks on the strong friends. You got somebody right there that texts you to say, I don't want nothing from you. I don't want no cash out. I just want to make sure you're good. Are you good? I want to make sure you're okay. I want you to turn somebody right now and say, are you good? Are you good? Are you good? So here it is. It says, glory to the Lamb. So it says, here it is, that these people, it says these women got a word from God and said, because you helped somebody else, I'm going to help you. I'm going to speak to your womb. You weren't even looking for a baby. You weren't even looking to birth anything. But because you helped somebody else birth something, I'm going to help you birth something. Some of you are not even looking for the blessing that's coming towards you. Some of you are not even looking for the healing that's coming towards you. Some of you are not even looking for the peace that comes for you. But because you distributed peace to somebody else, and because you lift up somebody else, God's going to lift up your head. God's going to strengthen you. God's going to answer your family needs. God's going to do things you didn't think he could do. Oh, that's what he did. So here it is. It says, because Moses was one of the Hebrew children. Glory to the Lamb. Moses was one of the Hebrew children. And it says that because Moses was one of the Hebrew children, when his parents looked at him, they said, we can't allow this child to be destroyed, because they looked at him and they saw that he was beautiful. Beautiful means there was a call on him. Call on him means that there was something ordinary about him. Something ordinary means about him that he was not to fit in with the rest of the people. The reason that he couldn't be destroyed is because there was something on him. I want you to look at yourself right now and say, there's something on me. I don't care what corona breaks out. I don't care what they call the next sickness. Whatever's on me won't let me die. Whatever's on me won't let me catch it. Whatever's on me won't let it come up on me, because there's something on my life. I don't care if it's somebody like a mother who protects you. You better thank God for the people who protect what's on your life. Glory, glory, glory. So some of the things that they were experiencing, I feel Jesus, some of the things that they were experiencing seemed like isolation. But what was isolation was really a faith that was being revealed. Because of incubation, because of excavation, because of me being in this spot, because of me being in this place where I had to start going back and remembering where I came from. Sometimes you got to be around people who say, oh, you got too cute. You forgot who you were. You forgot where you came from. Some seasons will remind you what you need. Some seasons will put you back in a place where preaching like it used to work don't work like it used to work. Some of you have to go back to something that you said you wouldn't do anymore, because the power that's needed for the day is not the power that was needed for yesterday. You're going to have to go back and excavate some things. This next thing that Paul was saying to him, he says, as I think about you, I think about the faith that was in your grandmother, that was in your mother. I think about now that it's in you. But now I also think, and what I want to teach you and I want to say to you, Timothy, is that I want not only want your faith to be revealed, but I want you to go back and remember the faith that you received. He said, because I know that this faith was revealed. This faith was revealed to you. I know that this is the type of faith that you saw. This is the type of faith that was revealed to you, that you saw in your household, that you saw in your grandmother. But after you saw it, I know it had to get in you. Because you can't be around that type of faith and it not drip in you. You can't be around that type of environment and something not get on you. There are some of us who are trying to act like we're not as sanctified as we are. There are some of us that are trying to act like that we don't speak in tongues and that we don't lay hands on the sick and they recover. But when you get in a situation where the doctor tries to tell you something, you have to go back and say, oh, no. I am one of those ones that I don't believe everything you tell me. I believe the report of the Lord. And you have to go back. He says, I want you to go back to the faith that has been received. Verse 6 says this. He said, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. He said, this reason I'm calling you to stir up the gift that's in you. He said, I'm telling you to get reacquainted with everything that you have been taught. I'm telling you to, I know you heard it, and I know it was revealed to you, but now I'm telling you, I want you to go back and start to see what faith did you receive. He said, through the laying on of my hands. What I'm saying to you, Timothy, is this, and what I'm saying to you, those of you who are listening right now, is this. He says, the laying on my hands, for those of you who know how the presbytery works and how ordination or how consecration works, it means that you've gone through a process by which now people are now publicly confirming that whatever was on you is indeed on you. And they call the elders to actually come and lay hands on you. He said, I'm saying to you, you studied too hard to stop now. I'm saying that you've learned too much for you to stop now. You've come through too much. You didn't learn all this stuff for you to stop in a storm. Yeah. You didn't learn all this stuff for you to stop in sickness. You didn't learn all this stuff. You didn't go to tarrying meetings just to be going. You didn't go to shut-ins just to be going. You didn't learn all this stuff just to be going in. You went through that stuff for a reason. I'm saying now it's time for you to be able to see what is it that you received. He said, Paul, I'm using your life and I'm saying, don't overlook every person, every lesson that has been that you've learned up to this point. And I'm telling you, those of you right now who you haven't called some people in a while, I'm telling you to pick up your phone and say, you know what? Thank you for what you taught me. I said I would never do anything with it, but I thank you for revealing it to me, because had you not revealed it to me, I wouldn't have known what I know now. And I want to thank you. I want to take this moment just to thank you. I don't want nothing. I just want to thank you for what you showed me and what I was learning from you. The last thing is, and I'm going to get out of your hair, this is the last thing. He says, I want you to not only have a faith that is revealed, I want you to have a faith that is received, but lastly, in this season, you need a faith that's going to be released. He said, I'm not only saying to you to fan the flame. Fan the flame means to make sure that you're fanning something that you got that's from God. You're not fanning something that you got on your own. You're fanning something that God gave you. He said, but I'm now saying to you, you got to release this thing. And in order to release this thing, I got to remind you of something, Timothy. In order for you to release this thing, I got to remind you of something, Growth Point. I got to remind you of something, World. I got to remind you of something, friends. Everybody who's listening, I got to remind you of something. I know that you're sitting there dealing with anxiety right now. And I know you're all over the place. And you say that you're not, but I know you are, because you hadn't prayed today yet. You hadn't worshiped today yet, because as soon as we got up, we start looking at the news. As soon as we got up, we start looking at our notification. As soon as we got up, we start seeing, has it lifted off of us yet? We look to the world and we look to see what they say first. But he's saying to you, let me tell you something. God did not call you to give you a spirit of fear. God did not put the call on your life. You're not called for you to have a spirit of fear. God has not called you. When he talks about fear, he said God didn't call you to be timid. God didn't call you to back down right now. I know all different things are going on. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. I know all that type of stuff. But I'm also saying, be careful what you say right now. Stop feeding into everything you hear and everything that somebody says. Everything you hear is not worth repeating. Just because you say it doesn't mean I believe it. I believe what the Word of God says, and I have to go back to some ways to be able to say that I believe, according to Proverbs, that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And there are some things that I might see and some things I might hear, but I'm not repeating it because I don't want it in my house and I don't want it in my mind. He said, God did not give you a spirit of fear. God and not give you the spirit to back down. Hear me. This is not the first storm you've gone through. This is not the first time you've been broke. This ain't the first time you've seen fake people. This is not the first time that there's been a national crisis. If you study American history, we've always gone through things. There have been, even as a people, we have gone through harder times than this. We have gone through situations where they wouldn't even let us drink out of the same water fountain. We've gone through times where we had to sit at the back of the bus. This is not the same time. They call this a crisis, but crisis is when you have to settle for broken books and torn out pages and have to get an education based on whatever they give you. They call this a national crisis because of sickness. But what about the sickness that they try to put into my mind and try to separate us from families and try to separate fathers from their children? And now we're trying to do whatever we can to grow as a people. You call this a crisis? Oh, we've been through crisis before. Not only was this a crisis, I think about the crisis where they try to make fun of my Savior. I think about the crisis where somebody tried to save him. Somebody who tried to heal people. Somebody who did good, and they tried to kill him. And that was a crisis because you were making fun of the person who was trying to save me. You were making fun of the one who was trying to redeem me. You think this is a crisis, but I've already been there, and I've already done that. And I already know how this story ends, because according to Revelation, it says that we overcome the crisis by the blood of the Lamb.
stand by the word of our testimony. So I believe if we keep talking about his goodness long enough, if we keep celebrating the blood long enough, whatever crisis you say is a crisis, I know there's another sea, and it don't start, it don't end with crisis, but it ends with Christ. That same sea, I can move from Christ, I can move from crisis to a Christ. Somebody say, I got a Christ for my crisis. I've got a Christ for my crisis. God did not give me a spirit of fear, but a power. I got power. Power to tread upon serpents. I got power to displug from social media. I got power to be able to close my ears from what you say. I got power. And not only do I have power, power not only to preach the gospel, not only power to be able to lay hands on the sick, not only power to be able to spread the gospel, but I've also got a sound mind. What that means is I can't lose my mind right now. What that means is I can't be crazy right now. What that means is I can't throw in the towel right now. I won't allow the news to make me throw up. I won't allow the news to make me go off. I won't allow the news to make me lose my focus. Yeah. I got power. I've got love. I've got a sound mind. I got love to be able to share the message of the gospel. I got love to be able to share the gospel in a way that brings about love. And sound mind means I'm not only able to keep my mind, but I'm able to make sure that everybody around me is sane too. I'm not only able to keep my own mind, but I can make sure everybody I'm connected with keeps their mind too. Yes. I want to close here. Is that inner fear often exaggerates outer fear. Yes, that's good. And I want to say that to you, all of you all who have been streaming, all of you who are listening right now, don't allow something inner to affect what's going outer. Whatever you hear and whatever's going on or whatever you're experiencing, don't allow it to get to the point that it creates something inside of you and starts controlling what's outside of you. I want you to reverse that. Allow the hope of glory inside of you to be able to speak to the hopeless world outside of you. To be able to say, I'm going to take the hope, the glorious gospel that's inside of me, and I'm going to allow that glorious gospel inside of me to infect this gospel-less community outside of me. That's why Paul said to Timothy, he said, this faith wasn't revealed to you just so that you can keep it to yourself. You received this faith so that you can release it. Now I'm saying to you right now, for you to dig deeper, that's my challenge to all of you who are listening right now. Dig deeper into your relationship with God. Dig deeper into your worship life. Dig deeper into your study. And to be able to say, what is this isolation teaching me? What is this for? Because it's got to be for a reason. Let me tell you something. The thing about incubation with those eggs, they do hatch. So I'm telling you, the isolation has an appointed time. Oh, it will end. But what will have hatched in you? After this over, will you be better because of it? Or will you be the same bitter person you were before it? Will you come out saying, because of that, I'm now so much better. My focus is better. I'm glad it didn't happen at the ending of the year because I needed a recharge before I even got to the middle of the year. I need something to shake my core and shake my world so that I can be able to shape the world for the rest of the year. I want you to be encouraged. I want to pray for you. Those of you who are listening right now, you haven't given your life to Christ. I want to make sure that you have an opportunity and that you give your life to Christ and you repeat after me and that you say, Lord Jesus, I come to you. I realize that this has been a difficult time, but it's going to be even more difficult if I keep trying to do it without you. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I believe you died for me that I might have life and that you got up that I might have a victory. Come into my heart, save me, forgive me of my sins. I make you my Lord and Savior.
In Jesus' name, amen. I believe if you prayed that prayer, you got born again. I want you to comment under this video. I want you to let us know that you watched this. I want you to get into a good Bible-based church. Let me tell you something. Even if you don't have a church that's open near you, you can go to church online right now. This is the perfect time for you to get saved with your blue jeans on. Get saved with your pajamas on. Get saved with those clothes you've been wearing since 1980. This is a great time for nobody to see you, but for you to give your life Christ right now. Email us. Let us know. We are here for you. Thank you for tuning in today. God bless you. I'll see you the same time, same place next week. God bless you.
I want to take this time to thank you for your prayers, support, and generous giving that make this ministry possible. For more ways to connect, visit online at growthpointchurch.org. If you've enjoyed today's message, you can like, subscribe, share with your friends, or take a screenshot and share on your social stories and tag us at My Growth Point. Until next time, keep growing.